This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it. It is Tuesday. Donald Trump, by the way, has the world's best memory. He has the world, that's what he told a reporter. I just want you to know that Donald Trump has the world's best memory. It's one of the many things that he says out there that would just make you go, what is he talking about? At any rate, it is Tuesday here in the program. America's being warned by the State Department now to be vigilant and be aware of your surroundings, because no matter where you travel as an American, even here in America, you are a target of terrorists. You are a target of terrorists. You know, I've thought, and as a lot of us have, since September the 11th, 2001, that suicide bombings and, you know, attacks on coffee shops and bakeries like you see in Tel Aviv and Israel in general could become the new normal here in America. I mean, it's something we've all considered and thought about. And with what happened in Paris here just a week and a half ago, it makes you wonder, how close are we? How close are we to that? By the way, Iowa Republicans oppose Syrian refugees coming to the U.S. for this very reason. They say it poses a national security risk. And Hillary Clinton, meanwhile, is edging to the right. She's seeking to distance herself from Barack Obama and Daesh or ISIL or ISIS or whatever you prefer to call it. But the problem with that is, for Madam Secretary, is that it's her foreign policy. It was her cartoonish reset button with the Russian foreign minister that was embarrassingly Bush League that has backfired. It was her folly into, you know, with the president into Libya, where we, you know, the whole Benghazi thing happened because we, you know, went, you know, dancing into Libya, a place we probably should never have been in the first place because we were not obviously prepared to be there. And so now Americans being warned to be vigilant both here at home and overseas and anywhere you travel. You're an American, therefore you're a target. And at the same time, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Bernie Sanders and all the rest won't call Islamic terrorists. Well, we will. This is not a safe zone. This is not a place that you get to come and feel comfortable. We're here to tell you the truth. And as my father used to say, do you want me to make you feel good or do you want to hear the truth? In France, they found more suicide belts and suicide vests, very much like those used in Paris. And now there's the possibility that eighth attacker may have slipped past security, but he also may have turned tail and run. He may have gotten cold feet. He may have run. He may have, you know, chickened out of the whole attack in Paris. Trying to figure that out. And while we sit here fiddling around trying to decide what we should call terrorists at the highest levels of the American government, the British, the French, the Belgians, they're not having this problem. And in fact, UK Prime Minister David Cameron said yesterday that he plans to make the case for Britain to Parliament to join in the fight against the Islamic State group in Syria. Take bite number one.
On Friday evening, the United Nations Security Council unanimously agreed Resolution 2249, calling on member states to take all the necessary measures against ISIL in both Syria and Iraq. Mr. Speaker, on Thursday, I will come to this House and make a further statement responding personally to the Foreign Affairs Select Committee. I'll make the case for Britain to join our international allies in going after ISIL at their headquarters in Syria, not just Iraq.
Yeah.
And I will explain how such action would be one element of a comprehensive and long-term strategy to defeat ISIL, in parallel with a major international effort to bring an end to the war in Syria. We will invest more than £178 billion in buying and maintaining equipment over the next decade, including doubling our investment in equipment to support our special forces. And we'll also increase the size of our deployable armed forces. In 2010, we committed to an expeditionary force of 30,000. Today, I can tell the House, but by 2025, we're increasing that number to 50,000, while also increasing investment in our security and intelligence agencies. And I can tell the House today that we put in place a significant new contingency plan to deal with major terrorist attacks. Under this new operation, up to 10,000 military personnel will be available to support the police in dealing with the type of shocking terrorist attacks we have seen in Paris. We'll also make a major new investment in a new generation of surveillance drones. These British-designed unmanned aircraft will fly at the very edge of the Earth's atmosphere and allow us to observe our adversaries for weeks on end, providing critical intelligence for our forces.
And there you have it, the UK Prime Minister David Cameron saying yes, but pretty much they intend to expand their military in all areas to defend against Daesh, defend against Muslim terrorists, to root them out, well, frankly, to kill them. I mean, how do you solve radical Islamic terror? You kill it. You exterminate it. You annihilate it. You don't contain it. And again, can you imagine if George W. Bush had said, well, we've contained the terrorists, and then the very same day, that evening, there is a massive terrorist attack. I mean, the whole mission accomplished thing is a falsehood to begin with. It was never said by George W. Bush. It was a banner that flew behind him on a ship that he had landed on. So, just want you to take that all into consideration. Meantime, real quickly, in an interview with Hong Kong-based Phoenix TV, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said he wants a secular country with freedom of religion. For real, check this out.
The future of Syria is mainly the political system, parliamentarian, presidential, semi-presidential, federal, confederal, and so on. But the most important thing for us and for me, that the constitution and the whole system and the country in general should be secular. Secular doesn't mean against religion. Secular means the freedom of religions. It's the system that can include every religion, followers, every sect, and every ethnicity under one umbrella, which is the Syrian umbrella.
Sounds like he wants a free country, but we'll see how that all plays out. Says he wants a secular country, which obviously will inflame Daesh. The terrorists will be inflamed by that. I mean, it's not a not a Muslim nation, obviously. Well, of course, they're inflamed by him anyway. At any rate, it is a Tuesday here on the program. You can join the program using the Common Sense Hotline at 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Thank you so much for dialing it in. We'll be right back.